to introduce to you our special guests. We have from our district office our Director of Missions, Leah Sivakin, and we also have President Hagen. By the way, they're going to be presenting later on during the adult Bible class. So I encourage you, even if you don't usually come to Bible class, to hear their presentation. At this time, however, I invite the chimers to come out, and we'll begin with this pre-service meeting. Invited to attend. With that then, let us bow our heads in silent prayer before the Lord, and then we'll begin our service. Continue with our opening hymn. God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given a son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority at his command in his stead, I therefore forgive your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'll speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad.
Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame.
Directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Epistles of Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth can be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? Is it excluded? Of what kind of law? By a law of works? No, by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. We focus our attention this morning on these words from Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. This is the word of the Lord. In 1524, 500 years ago, a pastor from the town of Zwickau in Saxony, Germany, that none of you have ever heard of before, wrote to a friend. The pastor you've never heard of was named Nicholas Hausmann. But the friend to whom he wrote, you might have heard of. His name was Martin Luther. Hausmann wrote to Luther, and he said words to these effect: the congregations, they need to be put in order. Things are kind of a mess out here. And so he encouraged Luther to come and visit the congregations of Saxony to find out what's really going on. You see, we observe each year, October the 31st, 1517, when Luther nails the 95 Theses to the castle church door in Wittenberg as the birth of the Reformation. But the Reformation really began in an academic setting. It was amongst the universities, and it was amongst clergy. And so Luther's first few years were really conversations among the academic elites. His 95 Theses were written for such, and what followed were a series of debates and disputations. He appeared in Heidelberg in 1518, and Leipzig in 1519, and then the Diet of Worms, where he appears before Emperor Charles V in 1521. But it's after that that Luther starts to think beyond just a debate amongst the church leaders and actually about the people. The people in the pews. So after the Diet of Worms, Luther is branded a heretic to be taken into custody and put to death. There's a warrant out for his head. And so his protector arranges for him to go into hiding, and he hides at the magnificent Wartburg Castle. And while he's there, he translates the Word of God into German for the people. And that begins a shift from theological discussions and debates to begin trying to shape the life and faith of God's people in every congregation in the land. When Pastor Hausmann wrote to Luther in 1524, he wanted him to simply get outside of Wittenberg and to see what the life of the parishes was really like. And so a formal visitation of the parishes of Saxony would begin, and what Luther found would shape his ministry going forward. Because he writes the catechism, the small catechism that some of you memorized all too well. It is written in response to what Luther had seen. And in his preface, he writes these words: "The deplorable, miserable condition which I discovered lately when I too was a visitor has forced and urged me to prepare this catechism on Christian doctrine in this small, plain, simple form. Mercy, good God, what manifold misery I beheld. The common people, especially in the villages, have no knowledge whatever of Christian doctrine. And alas, many pastors are altogether incapable and incompetent to teach. So much that one be ashamed to speak of it." Yikes. Luther wasn't too impressed with what he found. And so he wrote the catechism. A summary of the basic teachings of all of Scripture. And he would say of his catechism, it contains the whole Christian teaching, as all Christians must know it for their eternal blessedness. All right, what does the history lesson have to do with you as the people of God in Lebanon? Dear friends in Christ, everything in the church is centered around Jesus Christ so that you may believe that He died and rose again, and that through Him and on account of His sacrifice on the cross that you might receive forgiveness of all of your sins and the promise of eternal life. The reality is that we are just like those people that Luther described in the catechism as dumb brutes, pastors and people alike. Because what did we just say moments ago? We confessed our sins. Now, we use the confession from Divine Service 4. The one from Divine Service 3 really rolls off the tongue. So I'll stick with that. Oh, Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner. The words convict each and every one of us. And the words not just for the parishioners in the pews. They're words for the pastors to confess as well. That we deserve nothing from God. Sinners in need of His mercy and forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. We need the gospel, an eternal gospel. Dear friends in Christ, that's what Lutheranism is all about. It's not about Luther. It's not about a man. And he called himself all kinds of names too. Luther considered himself a dumb brute, a sinner, just like the rest of us. However, everything that Luther lays out in the small catechism that we find throughout his writings places the emphasis on the grace and mercy of God, that we deserve nothing from Him, but He gives it all to us freely as His gift. On account of Jesus Christ. Everything in the catechism, everything in the hymnal, everything in the scriptures points us back to the Christ of the cross and what God has won for us there. You've got it up here. It's all about grace alone. Through faith alone, based upon the Scripture alone, and the center of it all is Christ alone. Christ for you. Not because you tried hard. Not because you're going to do better next time. But because He has paid the price by His death on the cross for you all. Dear friends, He is the hope of our salvation. Jesus Christ is the promise of eternal life. And that's what the angel declares there in Revelation 14, verse 6. The church exists for the sake of an eternal gospel to proclaim to all who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And that's why Trinity Lutheran Church in Lebanon exists today. To proclaim that gospel, that eternal gospel, to all. To all people. Proclaim that gospel to children and older adults, to the homebound and to college students, not just to the members of your congregation, but to the more than 50% who live without saving faith in Christ in Laclede County. The eternal gospel is for all who dwell on earth, because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the gospel. I grew up in the church, but it's one of the earliest memories I have. Those words from John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell. Every year, the family, we gather. Well, it's gotten to be just my wife and I these days, but we gather to put the ornaments on the Christmas tree. And the last one that I always put up, it's a walnut shell. It was once painted gold. On the bottom, there's a leaf underneath it, and on the back of the leaf, it says in my father, or it's got written in my father's Sharpie, 1974. Inside of the walnut, there is a little bit of straw. There used to be more. And then there's a little baby. The baby was once glued. No longer. Glue doesn't last 50 years. And so I have to make sure that the ornament sits carefully nestled within the tree. But already at age 4, I was taught that the gospel in a nutshell is John 3:16. And it's about the baby born of Bethlehem, the Christ who suffered and died on Calvary. And he did it for children and adults. He did it for us all. It's a joy to be with you this morning. But the gospel is being proclaimed in your sister congregations across Missouri in more than a dozen different languages. God is fulfilling the promise of Revelation 14:6. As the eternal gospel is proclaimed to people who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. Right here in Missouri. But that same gospel message is being proclaimed. That is why Trinity exists. So that you may cling to this hope. And that the hope is not just for you, but all those outside of your congregation as well. Pastor Overdeek and I overlapped at seminary, and we had a wonderful professor during our days there who wrote the commentary on Revelation. The sainted Lewis Brighton. Dr. Brighton writes of this verse, "This eternal news includes then not only the announcement of judgment or the law, but also the gracious call and invitation to such worship, the gospel. The eternal gospel is proclaimed to all nations. Such proclamation has as its goal the repentance and salvation of all through the announcement of Christ's forgiveness. The eternal gospel is the eternal message of God, both judgment and grace based on the work, person, and saving work of Jesus Christ." Dear friends in Christ, we don't talk about Luther in a sermon every week, and you don't get a history lesson every week, but you do get Jesus. You, every week, know what you're going to receive when you come for worship here. You're going to hear that your sins are forgiven. And the word is going to be spoken. You heard your pastor say it. In the stead and by the command of Jesus Christ, your sins were forgiven. You come forward to receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And you hear every week that Christ died for you and rose again to open for you the way everlasting life. That's what Reformation Sunday is all about. And that's what every Sunday is all about. It's all about Christ for you. What he has done for you. That's why the Lutheran Church still exists, to proclaim this message. So, dear friends, You may not even remember that pastor's name. Doesn't really matter. Today is not about our most beloved hymns, even though we sing them with gusto. It's not about famous mottos. Today is about Jesus Christ and the eternal gospel that is preached in His name. And everything we do is so ordered that we may obtain such faith in Jesus, that we might live with Him eternally. So, dear friends, we celebrate Reformation Day with joy, because it's about Jesus and the eternal gospel and the hope that we have in Him for all eternity. May God grant eternal life to us all for the sake of Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting.
In light of God's grace in Christ, I invite you to speak with me our biblical commitments, and we say that together. Since Jesus has redeemed us, lost and condemned creatures, purchased and won us from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood, and since the Holy Spirit has enlightened us through the gospel and gathered us into the Christian church, we do now, relying on His gracious aid, commit to God and each other. We will work and pray for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We will walk together in brotherly love, guard one another from the deceitfulness of sin, and give and receive admonition and encouragement in humility. We will regularly gather together around word and sacrament and pray for ourselves and others. We will lead those under our care in the nurture and admonition of the Lord as we seek the salvation of our family and friends. We will rejoice at each other's happiness and endeavor with tenderness and sympathy to bear each other's burdens and sorrows. We will seek to live carefully in the world, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, and remembering that as we have been buried by baptism into the death of Christ and raised again from the grave with Him, so there is on us a special obligation to lead a new and holy life. We will work together for the continuance of a faithful Lutheran ministry in this church as we sustain its worship, sacraments, preaching, discipline, and doctrines. We will contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. If we leave this church, we will join another faithful congregation where we can carry out the spirit of this commitment and be fed on the bread of life. O God, work in us both desire and act for what pleases You. Accomplish these commitments in us, that Your name would be glorified and Your church edified.
Continue with our prayers. Lord God of heavenly armies, we recognize that You are our fortress. You are the stronghold of our lives. You are our ever-present help. Though the earth should shake and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, we will not fear, because there is a river that makes glad the people of God, the unending stream of Your mercy in Christ. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we thank You for the courage of saints like Martin Luther, who were Your chosen instruments that the light of the gospel may shine in dark places, shine through us, that others may know and believe in Jesus, the Savior of sinners. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the nations, bring our nation to repentance by whatever means necessary, that the church may flourish, that Jesus would be exalted. Grant wisdom to our leaders, to Joe, our president, Mike, our governor, Jared, our mayor, that they would serve the common good and lead us in peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you would thwart, through your people, through their vote, the forces of evil that would support abortion from conception to just before birth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of the church, be with Lee, our president, Leah, our director of missions, and all the district staff, that our congregations in our district would be encouraged, that new congregations would be planted, that missions would be extended, and the declining churches revitalized. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, remember all who face adversity of any kind, especially we thank of Linda, Billy, Dick, Kenneth, Krista, Barbara, Imran, Mary, Bill, Kathy, and others that we mentioned in our own hearts. Comfort them by your Spirit, that they would acknowledge their afflictions as the manifestation of your fatherly will, and in your will grant them healing in body and soul and mind. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Amen. At this time, we'll have the presentation of the offerings. Please stand for the prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death, that we may not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Amen.
given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took a cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Thank you.
And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us to the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace.
Amen. Thank you.
coming and being with us this day, encouraging us in the gospel. And so please get to know our district president and our district, our director of missions.